100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. At one a day until the day I die.com. Every Sunday, we do a weekly challenge where I post a topic and you come up with the story. It's fun. You should try it. In fact, a whole bunch of people tried it this week with the topic of shoe. Let's get started, shall we? The first contestant, well, this really isn't a contest, it's a challenge. The first challenger is John Musico.
Shoe by John Musico. I remember reading an interview with John Lennon. The reporter asked him, "What does I am the walrus mean?" After a pause, Lennon replied simply, "Nothing." I had been recalling that amusing story the day of the shoe. That day, I brought a huge nail, a hammer, and a shoe to work, and nailed it to a tree out back, where the break tables were. Thereafter, I sat on break, listening to co-workers' theories on the shoe, maintaining my poker face. Guessing I probably was behind the mischief, they asked, "What does it mean?" I paused and replied simply, "Nothing, nothing, 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 nothing."
Thank you, John Musico. Now, can I have my shoe back? I don't care if there's a hole in it. I'll just patch that up. All right. The next story is by Muncie. He's early this week. He's diligent and attentive and a little crazy. Let's find out what he's calling us this month. Muncie, it's your turn.
Greetings, Fisher Kings, from Munsey, who one hopes is nearly done his nano-novel by the time you hear this. And by one, I mean me. I hope that. I hope it very much. To wit, Shoes, by Christopher Monroe. I'm never more nervous than when things go well. I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop, which isn't healthy. It isn't normal. I know it isn't. And it robs me of my ability to enjoy the good things. And there are plenty of good things in my life. I can't help it. It's just who I am. Even my victories I find myself unable to enjoy. For example, if all went well, by the time you hear this, I'll be done my NaNoWriMo draft. And yet, as of writing this, I'm still kind of freaked out about it. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzeeMunzee. But did I really finish my nano? Well, you'd know that if you followed me on Twitter. But if you don't, you'll find out next week. Talk to you then.
Ooh, I'm going to unfollow him on Twitter so that it's going to be a surprise. No, you should follow him on Twitter. You should go to everyone's pages that are listed in the show notes at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Go to their sites and then go to their Twitters. Now, if you don't have a site, send me your Twitter. If you don't have a Twitter, send like a whatever or a Facebook page. You don't have to be friends with everyone. Just look at me. I pick fights constantly. Maybe I'll enjoy life one of these days. And thank you, Muncie. Noise so that I can noise removal it in a second. Next up is Jeffrey. Wonder what he's got. Is he the Fisher King? Let's find out.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 450 on the topic of shoe. My first story is called Cinderella's Trial. Cinderella, dressed in her magical finery, was at the prince's ball, all right, just as the story went. Where fiction deviated from fact was that Cinderella lost her slipper while looting ladies' handbags in the cloakroom. At her trial, Johnny Cochran waved the slipper, shouting, "If the shoe don't fit, you must acquit." Johnny was using a variant on that phrase a lot in those days. Unfortunately for him and his client, the glass slipper fit perfectly on Cindy's foot. She was sentenced to prison, where she spent the next 15 years perfecting the fairy tale version of her story that we all know. And my next story is called Size 8. Irene was an insufferable colleague who makes the entire workday a chore. Unpleasant, arrogant, constantly interrupting others with strongly held but frequently incorrect observations. Her smug grin was the crap frosting on the mud cake. Mom always told me I shouldn't criticize someone before I've walked a mile in her shoes. So I stole a pair of Irene's pumps, squeezed my size 11 feet into them, and walked a painful mile before I tore those shoes off my blistered feet. Now, by God, I let her have it every chance I get, and I feel great. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week with more stories.
Thank you, Jeffrey. And that Cinderella one, I nearly fell off the treadmill. And it's going only 1 mile an hour, so... let's all go to prison and write fairy tales. Yeah. Ooh. Okay. next up is Richard. Let's find it. Is George? More George stories? Let's see. I am just a little worn out this morning. Mist got in a fight last night with the brown fluffy cat. There was a lot of brown fluffy on the sidewalk, and Mist had a little bit of spit on her, but she is a mean bitch, so she didn't take no guff. And now Java has been hanging around a lot. I guess Monique doesn't want her in the house when she's high up on that cat crack. So, it's just a regular Grand Central Cat Station here. I miss the days when, Fluffy Boy used to be really nice. He was polite, and Nardo liked him, and Mist liked him, and Bruin liked him. I guess those days are over. Enjoy the days while you can. So here's Richard and his stories.
Good morning, good people. And yes, I'm feeling much better, thank you. Two stories this week on the topic of shoe. The first is George's story, part 83, Impassable. George rebounded from the door in spectacular fashion, doing far more damage to his shoulder than the door or its frame. Rather than take the hint, George's temper flared, and he charged back at the door, aiming a wild karate-style kick at the offending obstacle. Unfortunately, the violence of the kick caused his shoe to fly off down the corridor, resulting in his unprotected foot connecting violently with the unyielding wood. George screamed in pain and reached for the door handle to break his fall as he crashed to the floor. The door swung easily open under his weight. Outwards. My second story is simply called Shoe. Shoes can be so expensive, particularly when you have only one leg. What's the point of buying a pair when you can only ever wear one of them? After years of inconvenience, I decided the only solution was to turn to crime, and in one afternoon, I quietly liberated most of the single shoes on display outside shoe shops in the town centre. Only when I returned home and took a good look at my ill-gotten gains did I realise my terrible mistake. Shops only ever put the right shoe on display. But I only have a left leg. And there you go. Until next week, goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. I'm going to lose my legs laughing so hard at some of these. Man, these are good ones. This is a good week. I'm glad that we did the topic of shoe, guys. Whoever suggested it, thank you. It's very important that with your stories you suggest a topic for the weekly challenge. I know we have a whole bunch that are stacked up, but the goal is that we'll be doing this forever, and if we have an infinite number of topics, we'll have an infinite number of weeks to fill with them, and to write about, and to keep walking on the treadmill, and laundry to do. Okay, maybe that's not such a good idea at all. Anyway, let's go ahead and listen to Chelsea and see what she's come up with. I'm going to take a wild guess and say this is a story about shoes.
Shoe by Chelsea. I totally believe that the person responsible for women's shoes was into some hardcore S&M. If you don't spend your whole day in slippers, you are in some serious pain before noon. I have tried everything under the sun to make my shoes more comfortable, purchased countless insoles of varying types. I have worn damp socks to stretch out shoes and blow-dried them into place. I have put band-aids on different parts of my feet and the shoe to prevent blisters. My conclusion? Stick to slippers, and everyone who thinks differently can go fuck themselves, because they're my feet.
Yeah! That's the spirit. Independent thinking. Go with what works for you. I am so proud of you. You've taken society's dictates and told them to go to hell. That's what we're all about here at the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge, where you better damn well write a story that's exactly 100 words. Oh, wait. Shit, I become society. Thank you, Chelsea. The shoe police will be coming for you soon. I always get New Balance. I don't know why. With all the walking that I do, I should get custom fit ones and all that. Nah, I get crappy New Balances. Oh well. When I get down to 180, that'll be my reward. When I get down to 180, I'm going to get myself some custom nice shoes. And they're going to be sneakers because I don't wear those goddamn stupid dress shoes. Because it's like, they remind me of all the times I had to stand up and sit down in those stupid high holy days. And it's like, really? Does God give a fuck if I'm standing or sitting down? What an asshole he is. Why did he create me if I'm going to rebel again? Well, he wants to see if you'll obey and be good and then be taken up to heaven. You're a fucking asshole. Probably a child molester, too. Oh, well. Speaking of... Oh, my God. No, I won't start that way. Here's Dora.
There was once a mouse that lived in an old shoe. The shoe had been lying under a hedge for more years than a mouse can imagine, but not too many for a cat to remember. It saw, it always saw, when a new mouse had moved into such a safe, inviting nest. The mouse would come and go, nibbling on the little things that little mice eat, and all the while the cat watched, stone still, basking, as if in the sun, in the ecstasy of power. Until the cat would end it, and wait for the next mouse. I wrote a second story for this, which was actually my first attempt, but the story was not happy at anything under 200 words. So instead, I shall read it at the open mic event at Book Island, in Second Life, this Sunday, the same day this podcast goes out, at 1 p.m. Second Life time. But I can fit the first 100 words here. There was once a cobbler who made shoes for everyone in his village and the villages round about. One day, not long after daybreak, a stranger appeared at his cottage, for they had not invented shops in those times. "Cobbler, I must have new boots, for these fit me ill," he said. "Can you make them this day?" "A silver piece each," said the cobbler, "and you shall have them before the sun goes down." But when he drew off his old boots, the cobbler saw that he had hooves inside them. "You took my money," gloated the devil. "Make." And for the rest, God, the devil, the internet, and the Linden Lab permitting, Book Island today, 1 p.m. SLT.
Thank you, Tura. Since not everybody listens to this on Sunday, I've gone ahead and tweeted that on the 100 Word Stories Twitter. If you don't follow the 100 Word Stories Twitter, well, what am I going to do? Really? Well, it also goes to the 100 Word Stories Facebook page, which you don't follow that either? What's wrong with you? What, do I need to put on the G+? Do I need to send you a personal invite? Do I need to knock on every door? Knock on every door? Well, maybe some have doorbells. But still, what if you don't have a door? Okay, never mind. Thank you, Tora, and I'm looking forward to hearing that. That should be towards the end of the Texans game when they're beating the crap out of Jacksonville, which Jacksonville sucks. But the Texans kind of suck, too. Don't believe the 6-6 thing. Okay, so let's continue now. Enough football. Let's go on with Spate and find out what they're up to. Yes, they recorded this week. If you aren't able to record your story, what I do is I just put the text up on the feed. And if you're late, well, we'll find out in a little bit, okay? I'll tell you how that works. If someone was late with some stuff, and it's like, okay, well, we'll see what we do with that.
It's Weekly Challenge 450. The topic is shoe. This story is called, If the Shoe Fits, Wait for It to Drop. And here it goes. His name was Dimitri. I called him Dim, because he was. We worked together, third shift over at Kozlowski's Sausage Factory. He ran the grinder, I stuffed casings. One night, he's got this burning, itchy foot fungus thing going on, and he's hopping around pulling his shoe off to scratch it. When he stumbles and the shoe flies out of his hands and sails into the vat of meat scraps feeding the grinder. Next morning, Dim punches out wearing only one shoe. Management stares but says nothing. You learn not to ask questions when you work at a sausage factory.
And sometimes you learn not to ask questions when you run a podcast. Thank you, Spate. Welcome back. It's good to hear your voice. Oh, Facebook is reminding me that Delinda has a birthday today. I miss her. Don't we all? Don't we all? Well, let's continue on that sad note and move on to serendipity. Who will brighten our day with some sort of murder or madness? Something to do with shoes. No. Maybe this will be a happy story with a happy ending that doesn't involve murder. But if it does, well, I hope you're learning from it, because when the day comes that murder is legal, well, thank you, officer. Okay, here's serendipity.
After Tony's run-in with the cops, it was necessary to show him the error of his ways. Now I'm a pretty fair boss, so I just told the boys to rough him up a bit. Break a few fingers, that sort of thing. But nothing excessive. After all, who doesn't make mistakes? Once business was concluded, I didn't want Tony thinking there was bad feeling between us. So I sent the boys out to buy him a nice new suit, his old one being torn and covered in blood. Hell, I even bought him new shoes. Concrete ones.
What if they do turn out to be a serial killer? Good! Do you take requests? Thank you, serendipity. Just gonna drink some more of my coffee here. Okay, the Maui Roasters. I ordered two more bags of that stuff. You know, it's a gift to me. And me alone. Stay away from my fucking coffee. I got the good stuff, and I'm just using up the last of the old good stuff. And I'm just a creature of habit, you know? The problem is, I keep losing the little basket filter for the Keurig, and I don't want to get the Keurig 2.0 because that thing is so smart, it doesn't let you do your own. Jerks. Oh, but you can have a carafe. No, I want individual cups so that they're hot the moment I drink them. And put a little cream in there, you know, just a little sugar, whatever. But still, the carafe defeats the point. It's supposed to be a machine that does it on demand. Boop, boop, single serve, we're wasteful. fucking over-engineering dumbasses. They got it right the first time. What? Oh, right. Let's go ahead and listen to Zach Mann, who got it right the first time.
Stop chewing on my shoe, said Dad. She will not understand you, said Drew. Deja de mascar mis zapatos, tried Dad. First, your Spanish is terrible. Second, you do realize that the reason she doesn't understand you isn't because her breed is from Mexico, but because she is a dog, right? Come here, girl. I have a chew toy. Have you named your puppy yet? Because I suggest you call her Imelda, said Dad. Drew replies, maybe Mother can buy you a new pair if you don't call her Imelda every time you enter a shoe store together.
Thank you, Zach Mann. Or do I have to say that in Spanish? Wait. Is it Canadian? I'm not sure. I'm confused. Well, I usually am. So, last night, there was a lot of football on. And Florida State was happening at the same time as... It wasn't Alabama. No, Baylor. So, Gina is, like, flipping between the stations, as she always does. Irritating as shit. So, what I did was I got the other HDTV, the old one. And I popped the Amazon Fire Stick in it, went to watch ESPN, boom, Florida State's on that one. And I dragged it out to the other room, and there are two TVs. Man, never thought I'd ever get to that point. And what am I doing? I was typing on the laptop. So let's keep going with Tom and see what he's got for us this week. Are you excited? I'm easily excited because I've been drinking coffee. Not a fucking crap. They got it right the first time. And did they work on the red mold problem? No, they just made it so that you have to have DMCA for your little Keurig K-cups. Jerks.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. Story total, 7,280. Story average, 22.37. Total authors, 445. Chelsea moves in the top 30 and is three away from entering the lair of the golden monkeys. Tura is the new 13th monkey with 163 stories. Jeffrey is now the 8th iron monkey. Richard passes Thomas to become the 6th monkey. But the news of note this week is one will fall and one will rise. Guy David, 377 weeks in the top 10, falls to the 11th place. Thus, we have a new top 10 monkey, Chris. All hail Chris. And I've got three stories tonight. The first, if the shoe fits. These are magic shoes. Magic shoes. Yep, made them myself. Frank, you're an accountant. Accountants don't make magic shoes. Frank? Where the fuck did he disappear to? Over here, said the voice. Bill looked up to see Frank walking across the ceiling. But it wasn't Frank talking. it was the shoes. So you're Talking Magic Shoes. That's Mr. Talking Magic Shoes, ugly bag of mostly water. Frank, I think your shoes have attitude. Damn right, monkey boy. In the New World Order, you're my shoeshine monkey. Don't think so, cow skins. Rex, chew up those tasty shoes, will you? And the second story. A continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 75. Brain. The company made their way to the razor wire perimeter of the bandit's lair. Sparky hit the cloaking array, and one by one, all but Elsid blinked out, who moved steadily forward at Senator Smith's assistance. Stealth indeed, Dr. Proctor. Hey, hombre, turn on the lights. The holographic image of Pancho Villa appeared. Si, Senor Cid, would you like some transport? Send out Brain. From the far end of the compound, a vehicle rolled towards the bandit. Sleep, hombre, said Elsid. The company climbed aboard the Brain. Take us to the Tamburlaine. A gun resting against his ribs ensured continued cooperation. In the last story of this evening, a second continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 75. Bank. Brain deftly made his way between all the defenses the bandit had noted during the Tachyon Love Fest. The door to Warehouse 14 opened, and Brain rolled into the towering metal structure. Holy shit, croaked Sparky. The interior was filled with row upon row of computer banks. Is this Tamburlaine? Asked Timmy. No, said Dino Mod. That is. A red light at the center outlined an object the size of a bread box. Kill the cloak, said the doctor. Tamburlaine knows we are here. Isn't that right, Caesar? Goodbye, doctor. As the company appeared, Elsid vanished. And that's it.
Wait, where did Elsid go to? You're confusing me! Thank you, Tom. Most importantly for the stories, but also keeping us well statisticked. I'm sure that there will be fantasy 100-word stories players out there getting their teams, dropping Guy David from their rosters. I don't know, maybe he'll be back in time for the whole 10th anniversary thing, which is coming up in May. Not that I'm counting. I let the website do that. Next up is Anima Zabaleta. Say that 5 times fast. Well, by the 3rd time, Beetlejuice will appear and trash your house. If you say someone's name 3 times, he's just an asshole. So, Anima? Oh, wait, that's 2. I better be careful now. Tell us a story.
Hello. Anima here with my submission for Weekly Challenge 450. This conversation was overheard in a park. Ow! 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 Why all the noise, son? My feet hurt, Dad. A lot. Is it I stubbed my toe, owie? Or more of a, there's a rock in my shoe, owie?
No, and no.
Okay, let's use logic. Have you trimmed your toenails lately? Have you jumped from high places? Did you check for scorpions before you put on your shoes?
Yes, no, and yes. It's like my feet are squashed. I hate these new shoes.
Did you mix up left and right?
Oh.
And that's how it is when the shoe is on the other foot. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
I still do that sometimes. I guess that's what happens when you stretch out your shoes a little too much. Thank you, Anima. And the shoe is on the other foot. Although the cat is on the other shoe and tearing it to pieces. They got one of my shoelaces. Pisses me off. And the problem is, the shoes, they never say how long the shoelaces should be. So you've got shoes of size 9, 9.5. You got the shoelaces that say they're 42, 54. Oh, we're boot length. Well, what kind of boot? What kind of shoe length? Pain in the ass. All right, let's keep going here. We've got Dionysus next, so let's listen.
Hello, it's Dionysus Close with two stories based on the prompt, Shoe. The first story is called The Secret. John was obsessed with his one inadmissible, incomprehensible secret, the shoe. In his whole life, no one knew of it. No one suspected. It wasn't, after all, the kind of thing one might suspect. John never spoke of it. His demeanor never gave away how it had come to be his, how he kept it close for all those years, when he lived an otherwise apparently normal life with wife, children, eventually grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren. And yet it never left his mind. Marriages, births, birthdays, anniversaries, illness, for richer and for poorer, the years passed in deliberate indifference to John's hidden truth, his secret, the shoe. And the second story is called A Pair of Shoes. All we need, said the boy named Jesse, is a pair of shoes. What for? Said the other. To keep us from falling, answered Jesse. He climbed out of the laundry basket and down the ladder to the floor of the garage. They tried tying a large towel to the basket. Just hold on to it, said Jesse. Hold it tight. A woman, crying, Jesse! Jesse! Ran out of the house as fast as she could. She was older and overweight, and it wasn't very fast. Get down from there! Get down before I get my shoe after you, Jesse Campbell! The two boys scrambled away to safety. And that's it. Next week, thanks.
Thank you, Dionysus. I keep saying Dionysus, Dionysus. I gotta get that right. I'm gonna make a little note for myself. As a tattoo. Whew. Okay, I got the laundry all hung up and put away and thrown into a pile. Tinny's off hugging on her mom. He'd be the good little girl. So, who's next? Normal Joe. Let's see how he did with, well, he already said. We're waiting for months. Just, this is so confusing. Okay, well, let's listen to Normal Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com and of Fly Paper Boy, coming of age, available at Amazon.com for the next day, 99 cents. Next week, who knows, $3.99? I don't know. It goes up, it goes down. Well, here's my submission for the 100-word weekly challenge. Number 450 with a prompt of Shoe. So here we go. Superconductor opened a door off the hallway. The sound of people shouting and laughing spilled from the room. Go in, garbage man grunted. Men and women gathered around felt-covered tables. Dealers chatted as they flipped cards out to the players. An empty semi-circular table awaited them, a dealer scowling from behind it. I like to give everyone a chance, superconductor said. If you can beat the house at 10 hands of blackjack, I'll let you live. The dealer slipped 2 cards out of the shoe for each player, turning his second card face up, showing 10 of spades. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Philip Norval Joe Carroll, the creator of the wonderful Fly Paper Boy Coming of Age. No, I didn't write a review. I don't write reviews. I write 100-word stories. Maybe I can write a 100-word story as a review. Hey! Maybe I'll try that. You guys should try that too. Maybe 1 week we will do a 100-word story as a review of Fly Paper Boy. To force you to write reviews. Make them good too. Don't make sucky. Word, there, that's 100. Ooh, a spam from eBay. Okay, next up is Lady Blue, who had a story for last week, didn't send it in, so it was late, so I'm going to get it up on the feed. That's what we do with stories that don't make, I guess you'd call it a deadline or a due date. Society's rules. So here's Lady Blue with her story, and I will post her cranberry story up as soon as I'm done.
Hi, everyone. Blue here with another story for this week. But before I begin, I have another shameless plug for you. This Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. SLT, I'll be giving another talk at the Meeting of the Minds entitled Cancer, a Pathological History. This is the first of two talks where I will discuss the nature of cancer in a historical context. As before, the details and landmark are linked to the blog under my name. Now, as for my story, it is entitled Blue Suede Shoes. Shoe. What? I said shoe. I just got here. You are so rude. I came to deliver your mail and you tell me to shoe? This is the dumbest witness protection program ever, Elvis. I angrily threw the mail on the ground, not caring that the old, wizened lump sitting on the couch, sustained by tubes of amniotic fluid, preservatives, experimental drugs, and blenderized cheeseburger, potato, and ice cream smoothies, who was America's greatest living music legend still kept alive in secret, would be offended. You got shit on your shoe. Oh. Let me pick these up, sir.
Wait, do I have shit on my shoe? Oh. Thank you, Lady Blue. I had to walk to the laundry room and back, and stupid people don't pick up after their dogs. Just the dog poison out there. Then they'll start putting out cat poison and child poison. Bird poison. Cop poison. Sorry. Just getting all grumbly. At some point, I'll start yelling, get off my yard. I would never tell Lizzie to get off of my yard, though. She tells stories. They're good ones. Here, listen to one.
Ronnie walked through the comforting darkness of night. He wore one shoe and held the other against his chest. No one bothered to make any comment. He was a freak. He knew he was a freak, and he acted like a freak. Even when the first snowflakes covered the streets in white, he still acted like a freak, holding one shoe against his chest. Inside the shoe was a black sock, the one he wasn't wearing. Tucked inside the sock was a tiny bird. The wing will heal beautifully, he thought, and it did, right in time for spring. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcuff.blogspot.com. And I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's so sweet. Aww. We get those now and then. That's nice. Thank you, Lizzie. That brightened my day. Now, to ruin my day, let's listen to Planet Z.
In Charlie Chaplin movies and old cartoons, starving people, anthropomorphic characters, end up eating shoes. Why don't they just sell their shoes and use the money to buy food? I ask my parents. They're in the woods, far from civilization, they say. Nobody'd sell them to. Then the characters would have serious hunger delusions and try to eat each other. Why don't they just skip all that shoe eating and eat each other? I asked. But my parents didn't answer, as they were staring at me, hungry, starving, desperate. Why did I ever allow them to take me camping?
And there you have it, a whole bunch of 100-word stories on the topic of shoe. Thank you to everyone who is a part of the weekly challenge, whether you wrote a story, recorded it, spray-painted it on the street so that Google Earth will see it. or you're just listening, sitting there listening, think, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Give it a try. At least try. The end of the year is coming. Make it your New Year's resolution to try. And if you fail, we'll laugh at you. That's it for this week. I'll see you all next week. One a day until the day I die.com. The next topic is patient. Thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.